This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
This is the National Football League. You got a bunch of owners who inherit the teams, who are members of the Lucky Sperm Club, who are trying to negotiate in 2018, high-tech type of agents. And I just think Ted Phillips and Ryan Pace are overmatched. And I think it's bad for the whole football team. And it's a cloud that hangs over the head of the Bears and Matt Nagy and what they want to do. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. The people that really scare me, the people that can walk in those electric carts. And they go to the slot machine and sit on them. And then they forget that they're supposed to be, you know, crippled from the waist down. Have a bear standing with a towel in his hands, rubbing his crotch. Bear ball washer. What you got to really try to do is money manage and only bet one or two games on a Sunday. That's what we'll be doing on Bear Barroom.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now, like it does every Friday at 9 a.m. Central here on MixLR.com with a podcast out immediately afterwards. My name is Aldo Gandia. I am Mike's wingman. Mike North, how are ya?
I'm doing great, Aldo. We're going to have a great time today. I want to apologize for calling you Gandhi again the other night on John the Phone Show. We know it's Gandia, but I heard it. I replayed it back. I was anguished. I couldn't sleep. I had one eye open, but I'm okay now.
You know what? I have heard Gandhi. I have heard Baldo for Aldo. I've heard Alpo for Aldo. I've heard it all. So when you said Gandhi, I was actually, it was a kind of a compliment to me, you know? Because
to involve our new partnership, I've called you Gandhi 2 or 3 times. I'm going to buy you a sheet. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy you a sheet to just put around yourself. You can walk around the house.
I love it. Hey, I understand you saw a football game last night. Was that a football game, or would you describe it as something else?
Well, the one thing I found out that, you know, being in the radio business, sports radio business, and loving sports all my life, there are some times, and this is what I want to tell everybody, whether you love the Bears or not, when you're actually paid and you're actually doing stuff and writing columns and, and being involved in a great, great situation with Bears Barroom, you have to do your homework. So while many people probably watched something else after about one quarter, I watched the whole game. I had no issue with it. It was a loss at the end of the game, 25 points in the fourth quarter. I don't care if it's preseason or not. I'm sure that Matt Nagy's not happy about it, and I'm sure that some guys lost jobs over it. That being said, I thought there were some players that made their way onto the squad. It tells you all about preseason when we're going to be discussing guys that might be no better than second or third string. But there were some winners and there were some losers last night.
There were some winners and losers, and we'll talk a little bit about them. You know what? I got to tell you one thing. I got to get this off my chest. There are a lot of people who work in the media who really attack these preseason games, and I don't know why they do that, because to me, there are such great, compelling storylines. These are guys that are fighting for their dreams. Yesterday, I won't mention the radio station, but yesterday I'm listening to the radio. Yeah, I don't want to watch this game tonight. Hey, this is your job. You should be finding the gems, the storylines to promote this and talk about it with your fellow Bear fans. I think that what we saw yesterday wasn't the best football. It's not the kind of football we hope to see week one against the Green Bay Packers. But we saw some guys fighting for their livelihood, fighting to feed families, fighting to fulfill their dreams. I don't know. Am I way off here?
No, you're not way off at all. I mean, I'm living in a time where, I had a job that I was the luckiest man on earth. And you know, people will say, you know what? What are you doing now? You know, I retired because I had a job that made me the luckiest man in work and a lot of money. But I never once said, like Michelle Beadle did recently for ESPN, because she didn't like the decision by Ohio State and wasn't really captivated by Urban Meyer's response to the scandal at Ohio State. And I agree with her on that. But she's not going to watch college football.
That's ridiculous.
Because of that, that's what she declares, and they're telling me that they're trying to change the culture over there. You have a young lady who's so fortunate because she's been given many opportunities, and now she's on with Mike Greenberg, a new show that is suffering in the ratings, and she's telling people on the air, I'm not going to watch college football. This is the land in which we live now. I didn't like watching the game last night. But I knew the importance of it, and you're right. The National Football League underreports on guys until you have a guy like Ryan Nall who shows well like he has throughout the preseason. Bears Barroom was the first to bring it up, you guys. And you know what? Now everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. But that was a story that Bears Barroom and you guys latched on 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. Hey, I got to tell you about that Greeny show. I love Greeny. I know you have a close relationship with...
I sat next to him the very first staff meeting back in 1991. We didn't know each other. He asked me what college I went to. I said I didn't, and then he just looked straight ahead, basically. And then we became very dear friends.
Well, that guy is super talented. I remember hearing him in those early days in the score, and I knew this guy is going to go places. He is good at what he does. But I got to tell you, this new show that he's on with Michelle Beadle, and I think it's Jalen Rose, it's unwatchable.
It is, and they know it too, I think.
Oh,
and I think, and here's the thing, Mike knows it. I know Mike. Listen, when people ask me, when you made the big money, you had it made. No, that's when the pressure's on.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pressure on me to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But I did, but I brought in advertisers too. Mm-hmm. And I know Greeny's bothered by the fact that he makes a great paycheck, unbelievable paycheck,
mm-hmm.
and he put himself on the line.
Yep.
And when you put yourself on the line, there's nobody, I know him, there's nobody more miserable right now
mm-hmm.
than Mike Greenberg if the ratings are low. I will tell you that. He cares, but they gave him two overexposed talents, and one doesn't want to watch college football. Welcome to the real world.
Yeah, that is exactly. And the one thing they got to do is they got to get these guys a set. You know, they're in front of a window, and it looks, every time I tune it in, I've only seen a handful of shows, it looks like it's hazy outside. It looks like they put them in the corner of an ESPN complex and stuff. They should have a half $1 million set and jazz things up and stuff.
Nobody spends more money than Fox Sports One and ESPN and gets so little in return. Bottom line is, mm-hmm. you can have dancing girls in the background while you're talking. You could have puppies in the background, you know, cute puppies. It doesn't matter. It's about content. That's where they're falling apart. They have to have, and they have to have more balance on opinions. And, you know, I mean, basically, and Greenberg, Mikey, and I is the middle guy here. He was supposed to be the star, but Michelle Beadle and Jalen Rose have had a relationship because they've worked together before.
Yeah, well, I am canceling the puppies for our live remote sometime in the future, but the dancing girls are staying, Mike. I'm sorry. The dancing girls are
staying. I love dancing girls.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this game. And the headline, of course, is Ryan Nall. This guy is phenomenal. Pro Football Focus says that he's making over 4.6 yards a carry after contact. This guy has 32 carries for the preseason, 223 yards, one touchdown after the game. He was asked to describe his running style, and this is what Ryan Nall said.
You know, my style of running is, you know, a little bit of you know, physicality with a little bit of finesse as well. People don't really, they underestimate my speed on the edge, and I think that's where, you know, I have a lot of success is, you know, they think that, you know, I might run them over, but I might hit them with a hezzy and then go for the outside, and then next time I might run them over. So, you know, that's kind of my style, how I played forever.
Mike, what do you think they estimate his speed?
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter because nobody asked Larry Zonka what he did the 40-yard dash in.
Oh, yeah. But this guy's faster than Zonka.
You got a big back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a big back who basically doesn't waste a whole lot of time when he's running. He'll put a couple little jukes on, but he's still running forward. He's still running north-south. And to get 79 yards on four carries last night, he better make this football team. He should make this football team. If he doesn't make this football team, then he'll be picked up momentarily a winning football team. So I think he made the team last night. He should make the team.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And he also had a catch for 3 yards. I got to throw that in. He also blocks. Yeah. He also seems to be very studious at what he does. Doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes.
Yeah, we had him on one of our shows, and the guy sounds like this is his dream. He's going to do whatever it takes. If they tell him to play fullback, he'd rather play halfback. But if they tell him to play fullback, he will do so. And yesterday we saw him in the fullback formation near the goal line. He threw a couple of good blocks. He's not a great blocker, but like I told Danny Shimon last night on our postgame show, he's a better blocker than the fullback that's been on the roster the last couple of years, Mike Burton. So let's say goodbye to Mike Burton. God bless you. I hope you have a great career somewhere else. But Ryan Nall has to make this team. He's shown that he can play special teams. He can play fullback. He can play halfback. He's got a great attitude. He's a free agent, undrafted free agent find. Let's lock him into that 53-man roster.
Yeah, and here's another thing that you gotta like, and Ryan Pace picked him. Give him all the credit in the world. You know, I like it's just like the NBA. I want to get your gauge on this. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, which is a dangerous thing. but I look at teams that want to be like Golden State, okay, and I see no teams being able to be like Golden State because nobody can be like Golden State. So I always wonder why you want to copy a team when you don't have the athletes. This is what the Bears are going to be doing. They're going to be copying other teams that I think are going to have more success against with better quarterbacks and everything else. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I would love the Bears to have a three-back set. I know Dr. Phil might love this too. Who knows? All the guys. In other words, the wishbone. I love it because these teams aren't gauged to stop the run. They're gauged to stop the pass. Mm-hmm. It would be hilarious to have Tariq Cohen, our guy, yeah. Ryan Nall, and then Jordan Howard in the backfield just a couple times a game. And let me say this. Before everybody goes, you're nuts, I was the guy that suggested to Ron Turner back in the day that he should have something called the Wildcat, where Devin Hester would be the guy to run the football. He said I was nuts. Later that season, he was back taking snaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was Devin, but it was somebody else. I'm trying to remember if Devin Hester. Yeah, I think he was on the team, but it wasn't Devin. It was somebody else. So I just think it would be fun because you know what? Everybody does the same thing.
Well, this head coach comes with the resume of being highly creative. I would not be surprised at all if we saw Nall.
But Trubisky can run. But see, he wouldn't last long. So what you do is you just do a couple fakes, give it to one of the running backs. I'm not saying for the whole game. I'm saying you throw it in a couple times. It would be hilarious to see who the defense thinks is going to get the ball between the two battering rams and then the little scat back, Tariq Cohen.
Hey, Mike, guess who is in the chat room? It's Little Nicky Kurtz, and he sent
his love. I love Little Nicky.
He's been MIA for the last couple of weeks taking care of some
family
business.
I know, I forgot about him. I got to put him up on Twitter more.
I love Nicky. We're going to have him on the show once just so he can pop by and say hi.
Yeah.
Okay, so I agree with you. This, this team does have some offensive weapons that allow Coach Nagy to be creative. And so when week one comes around against the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy has no tape whatsoever to study. So Coach Nagy and the Bears are going to have the element of surprise in their favor, and hopefully that's going to propel them over the top against the Packers week one. But we'll talk about that game next week's show as we preview.
Can I just tell you a little story about that little hiding things on the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
Doug Buffone told me that they would try to put in new plays and everything before their first game against the Packers back in the day. And they changed some defenses. And when the game started, he's playing left linebacker. This is verbatim. He told me this story 100 times. He'd say, Forrest Gregg or Ron Kramer, the tight end at the time, sometimes Bob Hyland, they would tell the Bears, we're running the sweep to your side, and they'd gain 7-8 yards. So they didn't surprise anybody. Mm-hmm. The Green Bay Packers used to come into town going, we got like 4 plays. Good luck to you, yeah, because we run them with precision. So the element of surprise, and I'm with you in a way, maybe there's an ambush coming. Maybe Nagy's going to be the next Bill Walsh. Maybe they win this game big. But I don't know if the element of surprise is actually going to surprise the Green Bay Packers.
You make a great point, Mike, because there are many avenues to success. One avenue that's tried and true is just specialize in a few things, or maybe just one thing. Be the best at it and just ram it down their throats, whether it's being the best at the running game like the Packers were with their famous sweep or whatever. Now, other teams have had success with having complicated playbooks and blah, blah, blah. But I just find that much more difficult to do now because you have access to the players less and less time because of the collective bargaining agreement. So I almost feel like keep it simple. Let's do what we do best and just get it done.
Well, that's why I'm anxious to see what the Raiders do, for instance, because John Gruden's one of these guys that invented offense, apparently, because he's got them filled with a playbook that's bigger than War and Peace. Doug would tell me, Travis Williams is going to get a pitch out. Mm-hmm. They'd tell him because they were out drinking with him the night before because they were all buddies, Horning and all those guys. Yeah. They would tell him and they couldn't stop it, and you had Butkus and all these other guys.
Yeah.
So they just knew. Lombardi said, listen, I'm going to put in 4 or 5 things. We're not going to overpopulate this thing, mm-hmm, and we're going to be great. And the power sweep, even in this age, is admired today by coaches from 50 years ago that still run it. They just don't run it enough.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, I want to play a little sound of a mm-hmm Chicago Bears player who you've been asking, hey, is this guy still on the team? His name is Allen Robinson, the wide receiver. And he was asked if this team is ready to go, despite the fact that they have not had that many snaps. This offense has not had many snaps in the preseason. This is what he said.
Oh, definitely. You know, I think again, you know, throughout the course of training camp, you know, I think our coaches did a great job mentally and physically, you know, challenging our load, you know, as far as workload, you know, again, mentally as far as play-wise and physically throughout the course of practice, you know, having the amount of reps and stuff like that we got in. So definitely, I think as a unit, we feel prepared.
So I know you don't believe him, Mike.
Well, no, I mean, I hear Kyle Long say, we're ready to go. And then I hear him say, we haven't decided on our 5 offensive linemen yet.
Yeah.
How are you ready to go when you don't even have the 5 guys that you need in the front for chemistry? You hear a lot of that talk. He's player-friendly. Players love him. They don't really kill themselves with him, even in practice. I think it's a mistake. But you know what? This will all go away if the Bears win the first game.
Yes.
And I'll be taking the hits for basically saying a week ago they should have played the starters in Game 3 when a lot of other teams did. Mm-hmm. And I'm prepared for that. But I also want people to be prepared if the Bears lose 30-3. Mm-hmm. And the onslaught that's going to come right away from people that said, like Dan Pompey, Hub Arkish, not guys I don't always get agree with,
mm-hmm,
other writers, which they'll have to take that onslaught then. So we'll see what happens. I found it interesting that a team as bad as the Chicago Bears with a new coach decided who their 22 starters were before any other team in football. Mm. Any other team in football. That, to me, is mind-boggling because last night, even the substitutes. Did you know Kevin White didn't play last night?
That's correct. He did not.
Did you know Wims didn't play last night?
That's
They're
right.
not going to have 6 receivers on the field. So you don't even play those 2 guys? Because you know why? White had a decent game the game before. They don't want him having 3 drops in game number 4, period. Mm.
Draft Dr. Phillips in the chat room, and he is bowing to you, saying true words, Mike. He agrees with you fully on that point, and also the point you made earlier about having multiple backs in the backfield and being creative. Can you believe
I would put that in so fast. I would have, like, Barry Switzer come in And I would have done it from the beginning of camp. You got an inexperienced quarterback. Have the T formation. Believe me, they wouldn't know how to stop it on the other side. Mm-hmm. Because these teams no longer are built to stop the run. They're built to stop the pass.
Right.
And instead, the Bears are going to go, I hope to God they load up on the run because that's their best way of winning. But then won't Matt Nagy be sort of like John Fox was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Hey, but Phil's starting to come around. It's good to see.
Mike, I saw Tyler Bray, this third-string quarterback, play yesterday. I was really impressed with the way he plays. And then the word is that he's just a great presence for Mitch Trubisky to coach him up and so forth. You got to find a spot on the roster for this guy, don't you? On the 53-man roster, stack him. If he's got practice squad eligibility, at least put him on there. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we got to see what happens. I don't think the 53-man roster is going to be necessarily the beat-all, end-all roster at the end of the day. It's going to switch. It's going to change.
Yes,
you have
yes.
a practice squad. Teams back in the day, they called it the taxi squad.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you got a guy that's hurt, like the kid that got hurt last night at a volley, you know what? You put him on the taxi squad or the practice squad if he's not ready to go. I think the points of concern that I have for this football team right now are the offensive line, number one, and then a bunch of receivers that are going to be starting, Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Josh Bellamy, he's experienced, but the other guys with a new offense, that's my main concern. I'm hoping that Green Bay's defense is not as good as it's been in the past. I think that's where they have the opportunity here to make some gains, but I wanted to see Wims last night a little more. He looked so good, but they're saying, oh, my God, he had a good game. Let's sit him. And that's what we saw last night.
Yeah, they are being extra cautious with the health of these players and don't want to see them banged up. I can see that to a degree. You know, they've had an extra long preseason because of the Hall of Fame game. But at the same time, it's football. People are going to get banged up. So
they didn't want to sit Kevin White because of his health. They sat Kevin White because he finally had a pulse in game three. Believe me when I tell you this. They didn't want him last night dropping a bomb.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
That's his pet.
Yeah.
That's his pet.
Yeah, he'd love to revive that career of Kevin White. All right, I want to talk to you about Aaron Lynch. He was the subject of Brad Biggs' article in the Chicago Tribune. The 25-year-old edge rusher was signed in a one-year deal for $4 million, a $1.25 million signing bonus. He has not played all of preseason. He was supposed to come in here and take over for Pernell McPhee. The last two seasons at San Francisco were not good seasons for him. He's had some off-the-field issues, but his first two seasons in the league, when he was coached by defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, he played very well, had six sacks as a rookie for the 49ers in 2014. So this guy has not played a single down in preseason. He has seen very little preseason action over at Bourbonnais because of this hamstring or this or that. What do you think about this guy? Does he make the team just based on reputation, just based on Vic Fangio knowing him and that maybe he can, as soon as he's close to 100% healthy, get in there and provide a little bit of pass pressure? Or do you just take the loss, eat the $1.25 million signing bonus, and say goodbye?
It's not a big amount of money, except to the McCaskey family. It's a situation, though, that they believe in him. They have tape on him. They've had injuries, you know, Floyd's injuries. There's going to be other injuries. So I think that there's a chance because of his price and because they do know him and because Ryan Pace, once again, wants him to succeed, and it wasn't very expensive. I think they keep him, but if they don't, it wouldn't surprise me. I think the one spot that we got to be looking at, we're getting killed on the tight end position, although we have a lot of injuries there.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think we got Shaheen, you know, is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to use hamstrings, it's amazing to me how all these guys are hurt in practice. Yeah, we were worried about the games. not everybody, but there's players on this team, like Rokon Smith and others. They didn't play in a game and get hurt.
Right.
They played in practice and got hurt. Yeah, we're worried about the game. So
we'll see what happens.
It's a political organization. Never forget this. I saw Chicago Bears that had a chance sit a guy named Josh McCown at 3-2 mm-hmm. at the time and doing very well for the Bears, having him in the right direction, and they brought Cutler back, and then we all know what happened. We didn't make it because of politics. Nobody plays more politics in the National Football League than these two organizations. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll change with the other one. The Oakland Raiders, now the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Chicago Bears. Yeah. They will award people that don't deserve to be rewarded based on favoritism.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. And contract.
There's a couple of good points here made in the chat room.
I'll give you an example. Can I give you one quick example?
Please, take your time.
Isn't the 22 starters already being named 3 weeks ago favoritism? They didn't give anybody a chance.
Well,
to break that lineup. How good is that lineup? How many games they win last year?
I think it was
how
five.
Good is they treated these 22 starters like they were New England?
Yeah.
Well, only New England doesn't treat their starters as lily like as the Chicago Bears do.
Yeah. Well, I you make a valid point there, but I think it's perhaps they've named these starters because the depth isn't quite as good as you want, and for there to be position battles.
The argument that I'm going to make to you is they played the depth 3 and 4, exhibition games 3 and 4 fully, mm-hmm. because they're worried that maybe 3 or 4 of their starters aren't going to be up to snuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they wanted more experience for the depth. And that's not out of the realm. That happens with bad football teams. And I think Nagy knows that the 22, there's no way all 22 guys are going to perform up to getting jobs handed to them 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
No way.
Little Nikki in the chat room says, forget about Make America Great Again. Let's make football violent again.
Yeah, he's right. But that's another thing. I watched the Cleveland Brown game last night. I had the Browns, and they went, and Baker Mayfield, by the way, finally they might get over the hump. They had 9-16, 2 touchdowns. Somebody said, well, he played against second stringers. Well, who do you think he played with? Mm-hmm. He's got pedigree. He's a Heisman Trophy winner that I think actually may make it. But I saw it last night all over the league on the NFL Network, calls that should never be made. Mm-hmm. It was embarrassing. And in the Detroit game, there was a couple of them that you're shaking your head. Tackle football is gone, as we once knew it, even 5 years ago, as we're seeing it. Really, it is.
Is you know, we know that television ratings have been down for the NFL. Are these new rule changes going to make things even worse, and they're going to lose more and more followers, you think?
No, because they're going to bring gambling into it. Aha. And gambling's going to replace but what's going to happen is people are going to lose because of legal calls that, you know, they're making illegal because of the overindulgence of player safety. And that's when people I've been gambling since I was 14. So, you know, people say that was a bad beat. But then there's also games that I'm going to win because of that call. So I understand things even out. But for the novice bettors, they're going to find out what it's like to have your nutsack ripped off because of an official very soon.
Mm. All right. I want to talk to you about Khalil Mack. We know this team needs pass rushers. Khalil Mack is the outstanding edge rusher for the Raiders. He has been holding out. I think he's making, you know, some $13, $14 million this year. He wants a new contract extension. The talk is that he wants quarterback-type money at about $20 million a year. The Chicago Bears are rumored to be talking to the Raiders about a possible deal. How likely do you think Ryan Pace is going to make a trade for Khalil Mack and transform this defense from a good defense to a great defense?
First of all, I can't stand the guy for his position. You sign a contract, you stick to it. And you know what? If you don't like it, become a free agent. What are you afraid of? Well, he's afraid of injury or what have you. He's got agents buzzing in his ear. I don't want a $14 million a year. I mean, come on. And I know he's a stud, but the Bears, in my opinion, zero chance. They're not the only team that wants him.
Oh,
and
yeah,
if there's a bidding war, the history tells me, for the most part, unless teams get out of the way and find out things about a guy like Khalil Mack, he's a heck of a football player, but I don't think that's going to happen for the Bears. I think the Jets are supposedly looking at him. He misses football. He made that statement today. So I think the Raiders are just going to stand their ground, and eventually he's got to come back and play with them. He's under contract.
Yeah, he the asking price is so steep. Two number one draft picks.
I mean, and then we just drafted a linebacker.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be all that. So I don't know. I just know the Bears. I just think they put that out there to satisfy the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, I'll admit it on the show. You know that.
Of course. And, you know.
God, I'm on my game. Elder, aren't I on my game today?
You always
I mean, I'm getting that rhythm now. You know what I'm saying?
You always bring your game. How many cup of coffees have you had already?
I've had three large Starbucks right now. trying to keep the company rolling. You know me. I'm an all hands on deck type of guy.
I love it. All right. You want to talk a little gambling?
Of course.
All right. Before, I know you've got a pick for a college football game tonight, but I'd like to get your take on, let's say, you're coaching me up for the NFL season. At the beginning of the show, we've got this little clip where you say we're going to bet just a couple of games, two mm-hmm. NFL games on NFL Sunday. Tell me more about that. Tell me more about how I should manage my betting for the NFL this season, because that's something I want to do. I've always been intrigued about betting, but I just want to make sure I know what I'm doing.
Look it. This is going to be a nice year for you. You're already having a great year. We got two new sponsors, by the way, and I just want to say this next week, we're coming at them full tilt. You cannot grow as a website, or you cannot, Bears Barroom cannot grow without dollars coming in, without reputable advertisers. Mm-hmm. I billed $80 million plus when I was at the score in a 17-year career. Same with Fox Sports Radio. I come in, I feel like a gunslinger. I feel like we got to get the interest level even higher. You've invested mass dollars in this wonderful website. You've brought in people. You've put in your time. Well, now I'm happy to have, and next week we're going to see, you'll see their banners with the shows and everything else. Verdoliak Law Group, my good friend Pete Verdoliak, my very good friend Edward Verdoliak, and he'll always be that. And they've seen, and they followed, and they've supported my career since the 90s. They're a reputable law group. They just go to their website, and we'll put it up there for you, especially after the show. We'll promote it with the show when we tweet it out today. They're number one, and then Bet Chicago. They have an app now. They're going to be groundbreaking, especially in the state here of Illinois and in Chicago. They're going to be the people to go to when it comes to gambling. I'm going to be doing some stuff. And I don't like the word gambling, wagering, handicap, because it's going to be legal. So I just want to say that beforehand, Aldo, that these people believe in Bears Barroom Chicago.
I love it, and thank you very much for bringing them to the
Bears. Now, what was your question again?
I don't know.
Did you forget it, too?
Help me get
prepared. Well, I know what it was. We're talking about sports gambling, right, and we're talking about managing it.
Right.
Okay? Managing it is very simple. I'm going to tell everybody this. I started gambling at 14, and now I'm 66 years old come September 10th. There's no better handicapper in the country. I'm telling you right now, go to Vegas Scores and Odds and check the front page. I mean, I'm getting it done. I'm in first place in a couple categories. I was 4-5 on the show for preseason football, and my only weakness is I had to pick a game, the Bears, twice a day before taping. I mean, a day after taping. Mm-hmm. They were playing later on. I didn't have enough information. I went 4-3 with the other games, but we didn't get hurt. We'll make money on this show. I can promise you, Neldo, you're going to have such a great year, because losing for 40 years cured what ailed me. I got a system in place, minimum amount of games, not betting the whole board like some people do,
mm-hmm.
being 180 games over 500 documented. You could go to Vegas Scores and Odds now and see it, because of minimal amount of betting. Sometimes your best bet is no bet at all.
Right.
And don't take the game because there's nothing to do on a Monday night and you want to watch the game. And if you do, go light. Go light. And don't chase on Monday night. If you're down, don't chase on Monday. There's about 17 more weeks to go.
Mm-hmm.
period.
Yeah, I love that advice, because a lot of people will sometimes bet on, for instance, a Bears game just because it's the Bears game and that's their team, you know?
And bet.
You shouldn't do that. You got to bet smart.
You're talking to a Bear ball washer in my 20s and 30s and 40s. If I had to do all over again, I wouldn't have bet one Bear game, because I did well in other areas. But the Bears, your local team, mm-hmm. will rip your you-know-what off more than anybody else if you're not careful.
Oh, that is such.
Even the Patriots. Yeah. Even the Patriots. Mm-hmm. You're expecting the Patriots to win by 13. The next thing you know, they win by one.
Yeah.
Period.
Vegas still has the Bears at 6.5 wins over under. What are you thinking there, Mike? I don't know.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I wasn't convinced until my buddy David Kaplan picked the over. Okay, over at ESPN, my 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
He took the over, and David puts his money where his mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
He put 750 down to win, I think, 4 something. That's how big it is right now. The people are betting, I think, the Bears up. I would have preferred Dave and I just make a straight bet, 750, 750,
mm-hmm.
And take the under. Now, I could very well lose, and if I do, let me tell you something. I'll be the happiest guy on earth, because I'm sure there's Philadelphia fans last year that put a ton on the under for them, and they're not disappointed that they lost that under because they went to the Super Bowl and won.
Yeah.
So, you know what? That's a tricky one. I got to be honest with you. It could go down to the last game. It could be 6,
mm-hmm.
and it's 6.5. And then you could just back yourself up and try to, you know, save your money if you want by going the other way for that one game to make up for what you bet. But I think people will stick to their guns. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know what?
Where do you think it's going to be?
Oh, gosh, Mike, part of the reason I'm only sleeping 2 or 3 hours a night is because I'm worried about this. I think.
Well, I mean, listening to most of the Bear fans, I'm ready to just put my house on the over and just be ready to collect after the season's over. It's a done deal. But it's not as easy as you think.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to put your money down, I think right now 6.5 is exactly the number it is,
yeah.
And Vegas will live off the juice. Nobody knows which way, and I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying, for instance, my buddy Cap is wrong. No way. But I wouldn't be afraid to make the under bet. I don't know if it's necessary, though. But Cap took the over, and I give him credit for sticking to saying, hey, I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, well, some people in the chat room are saying, come on, Aldo, make a decision. Here's my decision on the 6.5. I am going to take $100, and I'm going to bet it on the under. I don't think they're going to win 7 games.
Wow, you know what? Don't be talking behind your back, Shane. Phil. Bear girl. They'll say, hi, Aldo. Moron. You know, I know it's coming. I'm riding the fence on this, but I think I would be in line with you. So you got two Bear guys saying under. I hope they surprise us and win 12 games. I have no problem being wrong, but it doesn't happen a whole lot. So, you know, it's a shock to me when it does.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm taking your theory on this. I'm trying to bet smart. But hell, if I lose a couple $100 because they won 12 games, hey, that's $200 that I'm going to be happy to give away, because the Bears will be in the playoffs for the first time since forever.
Absolutely.
We're going to have some fun.
Absolutely.
But
you think there's people that took the 85 Bears that took the under on wins? I don't even know what it was.
Yeah.
The Bears won 15 games or what have you. You think they were disappointed?
No.
Okay, I took the under. I'm an idiot. Boom, let's go to the Super Bowl. And that's it, you know?
Some of the Bear
ball. I want everybody to know this. Most of the people listening to the show, they were in their mother. They were even not even a creation yet when I followed the Bears. So I love the Bears. I just have become jaded by the front office and by the hijinks. Period. Nothing against the players. Always want the players to succeed. But my job was not to have hindsight or to go, I think the Bears are going to be good because they're going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
No. I had to give reasons beforehand, and that's how I made my bones. I was paid millions of dollars to observe. I think I did a pretty good job.
damn good job. Hey, I got to ask you this question that Zeke Robles, Isaiah Robles, one of our most dedicated barflies, he chastised me for not asking you this a couple of shows ago when we were talking about Bears management. We did not mention Ted Phillips' name. And so I want to get your take on Ted Phillips, who is the CFO, the money guy over at the Bears. Has he been part of the problem, and has he been kind of put aside and just asked to worry about a certain part of stuff and don't interfere with the Bears business? Are you satisfied with where Phillips is at now in the organization? And given his past, does he deserve part of the blame, part of the responsibility for the abysmal record the Chicago Bears have had?
He hired Trestman. He hired Emery. He's the worst. I'm going to tell you something. I interviewed in my career 19,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not 19 individuals. I did 19,000 interviews with celebrities, GMs, anybody. Mm-hmm. From Frankie Avalon to Chris Zorch. You know, mm-hmm. from Robert Plant to Mike Ditka.
Wow, cool.
Okay? I'm going to tell you now. I did interviews live at remotes. I went to the very first Bear convention. Ted Phillips, for the first time, was interviewed by me. He's the only man I ever saw sweat during an interview.
Oh, really?
Sweat. He was supposed to be, listen, he rode to the McCaskey's house that day when they fired Michael.
Mm-hmm.
When the mother fired Michael, they summoned him to the office, to the house. And this is allegedly what happened. He thought he was going there to get fired. He got there, they made him president. Because McCaskey had dirtied the water so badly with Mayor Daley for the stadium issue, they made him president. He got the stadium, which is the Jetsons meet the Flintstones, the worst new stadium in football as far as look goes, not as far as sight lines and stuff. He got that deal done. But he also was given too much power with player personnel. He helped Ryan Pace through things. He's the worst by far. He's been the one that's made some of the most horrendous decisions. He decided on Cutler. They all decided on Cutler. Mm-hmm. Ted Phillips always has a voice, and that's been the main mistake. He's nothing but a bean counter.
Yeah, you know, and it's sad that so many NFL organizations, they had the same problem over at the Detroit Lions for a long time.
How have they done?
Yeah, poorly. You know, they put too much trust on the bean counters when they should turn the franchise over.
Well, they did bring in Matt Millen, who was the dumbest general manager who I ever saw. He was a guy that was like a child. Oh, there's another wide receiver. Let's take him. You know, they took like six wide receivers. He sounds on TV like he knows how to build a football team, yeah. But he never expanded it. You look at Bill Belichick. He runs the organization. Robert Kraft stays out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't question anything. I'm sure he goes over things with him.
Right.
But Belichick was given the reins. Look at Vince Lombardi, given the reins. Look at the successful organizations. Most of them, given the reins. Not all. Mike Holmgren, I thought, was a guy that should have never been given the reins.
Right.
He was a good football coach,
right.
You know? So basically, the good organizations, Jerry Jones, he has no business, and it's been proven out, being the general manager of that football team. He should have hired somebody by now that had a clue, because he's an owner. He should have stayed out of it. I think Dallas would have been more successful.
I totally agree. A couple of thoughts there. God bless Matt Millen, because if it wasn't for him, maybe we wouldn't have made the playoffs a couple of times when he was up at Detroit. I mean,
he
was a gift.
And then they hire him as an analyst.
Oh.
What Matt Millen has to say on football, I have no interest in hearing. I saw the man perform. It's like a guy telling you how to walk a tightrope, and he's fallen into the net 5 out of the last 6 times, and he needs a net.
Yeah, and the other thing regarding Robert Kraft, he does get involved a little bit into the football side of things. He gives Belichick tips on where to hide the cameras for the practices of the other team and how to deflate the
football. Oh, my God. You know what? Listen. I saw a grown-ass man named Roger Goodell, say, the air in the football isn't right. We're 4-game suspension for the number one man in football. And they stuck it to Robert Kraft. And Robert Kraft came out and fought for his guys.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I don't know if they cheated or not.
No, they cheated.
It's been going on forever. I remember George Halas used to have spies at Wrigley Field, used to be paranoid about Lombardi having spies at Wrigley Field, so he'd hire some a bunch of halfwits called the Burns Detective Agency. You know, the guys in uniform with no guns. Walking around Wrigley Field like he was, like the Green Bay Packers were trying to steal his secrets.
That's hilarious.
I'm telling you, it's insane. These guys all think they're rocket scientists, and half of them couldn't really. I don't know how. I don't know how half of them have become general managers. Really, yeah. I really don't, except that they follow the corporate line.
Hey, in the end, just get me the biggest, fastest players you can, and then just run that sweep, baby. All right.
I mean, that's it. I mean, that's what they did. I mean, they used to tell Doug Buffon, all right, Doug, we're going to run up the middle now. This is with Butkus on the team, and they gained 5 yards.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. Those guys were tacticians. They were, you know, drilled over and over and over again on the basics, and they got it done. For all of you young football
fans, would you rather
fans,
have 30 plays with half-assed practices or 5 plays that you continuously practice that you think could be successful with the group of football players you brought in?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I used to coach a flag football team, and I made the mistake of trying to have a playbook with 30, 40 different plays. Those guys,
how old were the kids, Aldo?
They were actually late teens, early 20s, and this was in Humboldt Park, so these guys showed up to the games with switchblades and tire irons and stuff, and I'm like, what are you bringing that here for? Are we playing football?
Well, you're lucky they weren't used on you with that playbook.
Exactly.
Just saying.
So one day they just picked up the playbook and they threw it into the end zone and said, we're just going to run plays, simple plays. You know, we're just going to run down the field and get open. I go, okay, I'll be over here on the sideline rooting you guys on.
That's it. You know what? The last thing you need is a house robbery.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right, exactly. Mike, you've got a college football game for us to talk about tonight. What is it? And I got a plumber coming over tonight, so I need to make some money to pay this guy. So what do you got for me?
Well, believe me, the plumber thing has just put all the pressure on earth on me. You know, I've gone up against the best, and now the plumber thing, you got to hang that over my head.
I'm sorry,
because
man.
I want the wife to have a decent sink. I want you to have a bathtub. I want you to have a shower. I want you to be able to put in that new shower door that you guys looked at the other day.
That's
you know what I'm saying.
That's exactly so, it.
I'm going to go this. I'm going to take a parlay.
Okay.
Now, I won with a parlay yesterday. I had the Cincinnati Reds. I bought a run and a half for $130 on every 100, and they only lost by one. And I also took the under 9, so I won a parlay yesterday. I'm going to say you don't have to play the parlay. You could play both things equally. It's in the same game. Wisconsin is 52 over-under for the points tonight against Western Kentucky. I'm going to take the under 52 in that game. And Wisconsin is a 36.5-point favorite. Usually those things fall into line. You'll see 41-0 or something like that. I'm saying Western Kentucky will hold it to 35. They get that extra point and a half. So take Western Kentucky and the under in that same game tonight. Look it up at Vegas Scores and Odds. They give you all the current lines. And it's not. It's a game I may give my national members, the Mike North members, tonight also. But, of course, you and I are pals. So, there's no sense in having a handicapping page on Bear Barroom unless I'm going to step out right away. And then next week we're going to have 3-4 NFL games, and we will also have baseball for the playoffs for people. So I want people to keep that in mind on the Mike North Advantage.
Awesome.
Although,
awesome.
You know what I mean? That's not going to be just about football.
Yeah. Tell you what, when it comes to playoff and World Series baseball, that's when I start to pay attention closer to what's going on in the baseball scene. I mean, at my age, you know, I have had to cut down on sports just because, you know, my capacity for sports watching has narrowed a little bit.
Yeah.
And I love football,
yeah,
and I want to know what I'm talking about and so forth. So I spend a lot of time. But come baseball, when every pitch counts. Every pitch. That's when I get into it. That's when I get into it. So if you're going to talk...
Well, you know what the problem is when you're doing it for a living. Like for me, I was... You watch a baseball game and it might be 9-0. So what I ended up doing was adding interest to the game by gambling on it. Because, you know, you want to watch, let's say, when the Cubs are in the playoffs. I don't care what the score is. You got to watch it. Mm-hmm. And what you do. So I used to do that as an impetus.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, we're going to have... And the Cubs are going to be prominent with Bear Barroom as far as the pick segment is concerned. It always makes it easier to watch games, like you said, if you have something right.
I know we're this is a football show, but I heard about this kid, Eloy Jimenez, I think is his name, the White Sox prospect that they're thinking about bringing up. He's hitting like 3,000 in the minor leagues and so forth. Do you know anything about this kid?
Yeah, I know that he's overhyped. I think that he's overhyped as much as Mancada was. I mean, Mancada, I thought we got Roberto Alomar. Oh. And now the guy, they're thinking of moving to third because they picked up in the draft in the first round of second baseman because it ain't going to work. So I hope this kid is the real deal. He's hitting minor league pitching. I think we're a big league town. It's insufferable, the heat they put on these guys. I remember there was a guy, Sparky Anderson, became the Detroit Tigers manager. And I understand the overhype. And it happens with us with football. I get it. But football's overhyped from the beginning. There's a combine for NFL players. There's not a combine for major league or for minor league players. So I think the overhype of the minor leagues is a little bit different. But there was a kid that played third base for the Detroit Tigers as a rookie. You could look him up. Chris Patero. Mm-hmm. And Sparky Anderson in spring training said he was the next Brooks Robinson. That was the end of Chris Patero.
Oh, man.
The
why
overhyped
did he say that?
The kid. And I think overhype, I'm not saying, you know, that it's good or bad. I just think it puts unnecessary heat on the people you're talking about. Easy for a reporter saying this guy is going to be the next Roberto Clemente. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These are the same reporters that when they have a deadline are panicking because they can't type fast enough. I mean, come on. You know, let's be more realistic about our assessment of these guys, and let's wait to see what they do.
I hear you. All right, so it's Western Kentucky, right? Did I get that?
Western Kentucky. There's also other games tonight that I looked at. Okay. I'm not going to give them out as what the you got Utah State at Michigan State. Good to see Mike D'Antoni with all the scandals just going to be running out on the field again. you got Syracuse and Western Michigan. There's a slate of football. Colorado versus Colorado State, a rivalry right off the bat.
Yeah.
You have another thing coming up this weekend. You know, the one thing I like about college football, you're not resting the starters.
No.
You're not resting the starters.
Unless
this
you're
game,
up by 70
those
points.
These games tonight end the season for people. I'll give you one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Richt is crying now. Because he scheduled Miami, or the schedule's made you against LSU. First game.
Wow.
So one of those teams is out of it. They're not resting people. They have to play. And that's why college football, people like that product as much as they like, if not more, than the National Football League product, because these games count. These point spreads count tonight. You're not betting on preseason. You're betting on half the teams are out of it for the most part, after the first week.
Mike, I got to tell you something. Michigan, Notre Dame. I love Notre Dame. So I'm not gonna bet on that game because
with the red nose Brian Kelly. You know what? They play a schedule. Listen, I never want to hear about how bad Notre Dame football is because I want to see the other teams like Alabama and the SEC play their schedule.
Thank you.
I don't want a steady. Give me a steady diet of Mississippi State, Vanderbilt. Notre Dame comes and plays. I know they have the service academies.
Mm-hmm.
I get all that. You got to take a couple weeks off. Their schedule has been killer.
Right.
And I know people. Well, the strength of schedule, guys. No, I don't want to hear that. Notre Dame has a pro type schedule because they're on NBC.
That is so true. And even when they play, you know, Army, Navy, those rivalry games sometimes can be the toughest games on the schedule because they see you every year. That other team gets hyped up. They want to beat Goliath. So, you know, those are not gimmies either.
Hey,
those
Navy used
games.
To be a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Navy to be irrelevant. After Roger Staubach, Navy was irrelevant forever. Mm-hmm. Navy hasn't been irrelevant, and neither have the other service academies. It's Air Force. Mm-hmm. In Notre Dame, you used to have a cakewalk. Air Force beats great teams. Navy beats good teams. They have the right. Perfect. I'm glad you brought this up. It buys into my analogy about why the Bears should run with the head of the wishbone. Nobody runs more than the service academies, and sometimes they take it to some of the best defenses in football because those defenses are prepared to stop the pass first and the run second, and that's where they have the advantage, and that's where once in a while they get an upset.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that we might be in the beginning of starting to see a trend a little bit where we're going to see more running than we have in previous seasons. I just think that offensive coordinators are saying, okay, the defenses now are bringing in another safety. They're starting the game with nickel and so forth. So I got a feeling that now offensive coordinators are going to say, let's start running the ball and maybe the tide has changed. You know how these trends happen.
Who my favorite team is this year? To take it, I don't even know what the over-under is. I just like what they did. New York, the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
They got Barkley.
Oh, I like that kid.
As the running back. Mm-hmm. Now, I hope he doesn't turn into Curtis Enos. Because I hear the same thing said about Barkley that I heard about Curtis Enos.
Really?
And Curtis Enos couldn't play. Oh, Curtis Enos was a stud.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of Penn State.
That's true.
Look him up.
Yeah.
He was a stud. But isn't Eli Manning, with Beckham being signed now, going to become a better quarterback?
Yeah.
He suffered the last couple of years. Beckham had injuries, and who was running behind him? Play action pass with Eli Manning?
Mm-hmm.
Look out. I'm just telling people, look out. I got them as a team that's going to make some noise. And is Dallas really the beat-all, end-all? They had 1 year where they were great, another year where they were just okay. Somewhere in the middle, they're going to be, in my opinion, Washington lost Cousins. Alex Smith's there. I like the New York Giants. I really do.
All right, you heard it here at the Mike North Advantage. Mike likes the New York Giants. Mike, a final word on our sponsors. I'm going to play the closing theme music and get ready to meet the plumber and find out how much all this is going to cost me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, telling you, I mean, with the high lifestyle that you have, you know, I mean, there's no doubt. I just don't find out you have lead piping because you have to pull everything
out.
Oh,
my God.
You know
please.
What I mean? I'm going to tell you this. The Chicago Bears, you know what? I've enjoyed the preseason. I don't think there's ever been more interest in what happened than with Nagy sitting the starters in week 3. It was fun to banter. I think if Bear fans, even the if the worst thing I say about you is a Bear ball washer, you could take that as an insult. But some Bear fans just go over the line with some of the stuff that's being said because there's a disagreement about Trubisky.
My gosh, yes.
It's not insane.
I love
Trubisky. Why? Because Trubisky's good. No, give me a reason. Give me a debate. Please tell me, you know, I see where Sean Salisbury didn't even list the four Bear, didn't even list Trubisky as the quarterbacks that are going to surprise this year.
Mm.
And I heard Shane say it, and he brings up a good point. Well, you know, people are rating him after 12 games. But that's why he wasn't listed.
Right.
Because of the inexperience. So hopefully Trubisky will surprise everybody. But Sean Salisbury doesn't seem to buy into it because he had guys like Darnold down there and everything else. We'll see what happens. And by the way, Vrdoljak Law Group and Bet Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Welcome to the family. Bet Chicago and Vrdoljak. We love you. And B. Diddy says in the chat room, Mitch needs to produce. And I think...
Oh, that's it.
That's it.
A lot of people's credibility online. I got credibility. I said Cutler wasn't going to make it. He didn't make it for 8 years, and everybody else said he would. People's credibility on the line, sticking their neck out for Mitch Trubisky.
Mike North, I love you. Have a great weekend.
I love you all, though. Good dia.
remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.